The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Samuel Issa
and Doreen Ampofo.
In the headlines, President Mahama assures investors of opportunities in Africa despite Ebola virus. EU applauds Ghana's leading role in fight against Ebola. Government charged to curb increasing female dropout rate in secondary and tertiary schools. And South African athlete Oscar Pistorius to be sentenced today. First, the summary with Doreen Ampofo.
President John Mahama says there will be a positive turnaround in the fight against Ebola at a presidential panel discussion to open the Global African Investment Summit in London. The president encouraged investors not to ignore the opportunities that abound in Africa because of the disease. Ghana has been applauded by the European Union for its leading role in the fight against Ebola, describing it as bold. The newly appointed head of the Union to Ghana, William Hanna, said Ghana deserves a pat on the shoulder as a truly patriotic nation that shares the pain of others. Research by the UN has shown that female students in the tertiary level drop out more than male students. Speaking at a news conference to mark the 69th UN Day celebration in Accra, a senior UN representative of Ghana has said government must act fast to curb the trend. And South African Paralympian Oscar Pistorius will face destiny today when the final verdict of a 7-month murder trial is read. Pistorius was convicted of culpable homicide for killing his girlfriend, Reva Steenkamp.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
The news in detail. President John Mahama has expressed optimism that there will be a positive turnaround in the fight against the Ebola viral disease. The totality of ongoing international efforts, President Mahama noted, will contribute positively to addressing the menace. While the first severe cases of Ebola were recorded in West African countries, with Guinea, Liberia and Sierra Leone badly hit, the US and Spain have lately also recorded some cases. President Mahama was contributing to a presidential panel discussion to open the Global African Investment Summit in London. The discussion sets the stage for the presentation of various country projects and investment opportunities. Other members of the panel were Rwandan President Paul Kagame, Ugandan President Yoweri Museveni, and the Prime Minister of Tanzania, Mizengo Pinda.
Certainly, this outbreak took us by surprise. I mean, there's never been an Ebola outbreak in West Africa. And so just understanding what was happening and what the disease was has been one of the major problems. People were unaware of how the disease was spread. The cultural practices in West Africa are to give a dead relative a fitting burial, to wash the body, lay it in state in a dignified manner, and give it a proper burial in a proper grave. And all these cultural practices, you know, are some of the practices that fuel the spread of Ebola. Aside from the fact that it is a very mobile region where the borders are virtual in our minds. Otherwise, I mean, grandfathers and aunties live in different places across the borders, and so we just walk across in any borderline. And so it created the situation in which the disease could spread. But happily, the international community is responding. ECOWAS itself, we have been leading the fight to contain it with the little resources that we have. But the rest of the world has joined in, and I'm sure that with the increasing knowledge among the population and the resources that are available, we should be seeing a turnaround soon.
President Mahama challenged investors not to be discouraged by the Ebola outbreak, to ignore the opportunities that Africa offers.
Happily, the isolation is being broken with the logistics center we set up in Accra. It allows the U.S. and the United Nations and the World Health Organization and all of them to have a staging post in Accra to be able to create an air bridge into the three affected countries. And happily, some resources are going into the hands of the government to be able to do what they have to do.
That was President Mahama.
Meanwhile, the president says vital supplies and resources to tackle Ebola are beginning to arrive in Guinea, Liberia, and Sierra Leone. In an interview with the BBC, President Mahama, who leads the regional bloc ECOWAS, said treatment centers are being set up in these countries, but called for proper coordination between agencies to avoid duplication. The outbreak has killed more than 4,500 people, most of them in those three counties. An estimated 70% of those infected have died.
The European Union has described Ghana's numerous initiatives as leader of ECOWAS in the fight against Ebola as bold and must be applauded. The newly appointed head of the Union to Ghana, William Hanna, said the EU is committing 500 million euros, a chunk of which will be directed to ECOWAS to assist the three most affected Ebola countries. Mr. Hanna, who was interacting with the media for the first time since his appointment, acknowledges the risk Ghana is taking as a lead campaigner to fight the disease, but was optimistic that Ghana will be given a pat on the shoulder as a truly patriotic nation that shares the pain of others. Irab Napaha has the details.
Since 1999, the European Union has provided an estimated 1.5 billion euros in development aid to Ghana. Beneficiary sectors are transport, agriculture, microfinance and budget, environment, trade and the private sector. At present, half of all official development assistance received by Ghana is financed by the EU. The newly appointed head of the Union to Ghana, William Hanna, said he will continue from where his predecessor, Claude Merton, left off by strengthening the trade and bilateral cooperation between the EU and Ghana. He said Ebola presents a challenge that calls for wider and sensitive collaboration to tackle. He further reveals what he brings on board.
Very warm and friendly people, Ghanaians. I see a lot of change in Ghana. What I notice is that Ghana has consolidated its democracy and had a long period of peace and stability. So it's nice to be back about the partnership between the European Union and Ghana. We are still the most important trading partner. 30% of the total trade is with the EU. There is a lot that binds us. My job is to try and take it and develop it further in the future and to enhance it. And in that work, we've asked local staff, Ghanaians and Europeans here in the delegation who are the team who are trying to push things forward. I discussed this when I met President Mahama for the future relationship. So we know what was done in the past. What way should we be going?
On the much-debated economic partnership agreement, Mr. Hanna said the agreement is only designed as a tool for development and regional integration. He added that rules of the origin of the EPA are favorable and will provide trust between West Africa and the EU. Although it is already part of the Union's support program to Ghana, Mr. Hanna said sanitation and water, energy and health will be his topmost priority.
Hirab Napaha reporting.
The chief executive of the National Petroleum Authority, NPA, Moses Asaga, says a 2% reduction in fuel prices is significant because that represents 10 million Ghana cedis reduction to consumers. He said Ghanaians would have had higher reduction, but because government owed the oil companies about 20 million Ghana cedis, it is being used to settle the companies. He spoke with Agatha Samwa on Behind the News.
Because of the reduction in crude oil prices by, let's say, 5%, the NPA has been able to get a windfall of about 30 million Ghana cedis within these 2 weeks. And it is that 30 million Ghana cedis which MPA would have held back and given to government that government has decided to give out 10 million Ghana cedis. So the 2% we are talking about translates into 10 million Ghana cedis which government is saving for consumers. So that is what it translates to. So when people say it is just 2%, it's because they don't understand that in the oil industry, one, prices don't come down in a very significant manner. The prices come down marginally. But when you translate those margins in terms of volumes, it becomes big money.
Well, can you tell us of what effect do you expect this marginal reduction to have at all?
Yes, that's what I'm saying, that we are putting back 10 million to consumers in terms of the 2% reduction. The current price decrease on the world market translates to the 2% that we are also giving to Ghanaians. So it is not our fault. So we are saving consumers 10 million Ghana cedis. So consumers in total would have paid 10 million Ghana cedis more than they are paying now.
That was the chief executive of the National Petroleum Authority, Moses Asaga.
Meanwhile, an expert, Kwame Jantua, has asked Ghanaians to appreciate the 2% reduction in fuel prices by the NPA. He said even if it is a peso that has been reduced, it is still significant to consumers. According to him, its sustainability is the most important thing.
Even if it's a penny, it's significant. You know, money has a cost at this present moment in time where Ghana is concerned and where the world is concerned. So any reduction in anything should be welcomed. What we should be looking at is the attributed factors to it in terms of transport prices. If transport prices are going to drop, are food prices also going to drop? These are some of the questions we should be asking ourselves, because that is where the burden is. When petrol price goes up, it's not only the price of petrol that has gone up that is the problem. The other challenge is food prices go up, other things go up significantly. Now, with petrol prices coming down 2%, are we going to expect a 2% drop in all these things that went up? The other thing is the CD. And I'm sure if the CD had been falling, you would not get this 2% drop in the price. There's a reduction of crude oil on the world market. There's reduction of prices for refined products. So let's welcome it and let's see how best we can sustain it. That's the most important thing. And I would hope that the MPA, in as much as we've made this saving, they would leave some of that money to cushion us in times when some of these determining factors go up, so that at least we can enjoy some form of cushioning when, you know, prices start rising again.
You heard an energy expert, Kwame Jantua.
The Controller and Accountant General's Department says it has informed heads of MDAs and MMDA's employees and the general public that the suspension of salaries of employees without bank account numbers or zero account numbers will continue this month to cover employees in other regions. The Controller and Accountant General's Department, CAGD, as part of measures to clean the payroll data last month, suspended the salaries of employees with zero bank account numbers in the Greater Accra, Volta, Central and Western regions. The department has further been directed to suspend the salaries of employees without bank account numbers in the remaining regions, which include Eastern, Ashanti, Bunahafu, Northern, Upper East and Upper West regions for this month. The Controller and Accountant General wishes to assure employees whose salaries were suspended last month and this month that if they submit the required information by November 7, 2014, their records will be updated to enable them to receive salary in November. Also affected employees should complete a standard form and attach the requisite documents and submit same to the relevant district offices of the Auditor General in person for validation. Copies of the forms could be obtained at the district offices of the Auditor General, the regional and district offices of the CAGD, or downloaded from the CAGD website.
The Awakla Road, known as the Gifford Road, which was supposed to have been completed in February this year, will be handed over in December. The project, which is World Bank sponsored, is at the cost of $9.9 million with a local component of 7.3 million cedis and is 75% complete. A development engineer with the Department of Urban Roads, William Donko, says issues with compensation is reason for the delay. He spoke with Joyce Jeche.
The Gifford Road started in September 2012 and it was scheduled to complete in 18 months. That would have been 20 February 2014. That has been extended to complete in December 2014. The cost Ghana Cedis is $7.3 million and US dollars $9.9 million. I think basically that is it. But before the project started, we had a single lane road from 37 Military Hospital roundabout to Lati Junction. But the current construction is a dual carriageway with an interchange at the flower pot that's close to Kogo Junction. The dual carriageway actually starts from the 37 and ends at Lati Junction. And currently, we are working around the Elwak Stadium. We are actually putting in some finishing touches to the binder course, which will actually give way to the final seal, which is the wearing course. Anytime soon, probably in a month's time, we'll be doing the wearing course to see to the completion of the road. There are other issues that are on site. We are working on the street lights now. We are also working on the walkways. and some drainage works. When we get to the former 2000 filling station at La, we are supposed to work on the road between the trade fair wall and the Badma offices. As part of this program, we are going to also work on some things in Keshi, which is also currently ongoing. And we expect to complete all these roads by the end of this year.
You said the project was supposed to have been completed within 18 months. What caused the extension?
The extension was primarily due to compensation issues. There were some properties that we had to actually clear off the road, and we had to come in and compensate them. As I speak, we have one or two which are outstanding. We are working on one of them. The outstanding one is the DOD mess, which we have to actually take off to actually finalize on our compensation. And the other is an additional work that we've given to the contractor to do in Keshi, that is from the Bush Road to the Lekma Hospital Road.
That was a development consultant with the Department of Urban Roads, William Donko. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. President Mahama assures investors of opportunities in Africa despite Ebola virus. EU applauds Ghana's leading role in fight against Ebola. Government charged to curb increasing female dropout rate in secondary and tertiary schools. And South African athlete Oscar Pistorius to be sentenced today. Do stay tuned.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
Welcome back. The UN says government must act fast to deal with increasing cases of female dropout at the secondary and tertiary levels. According to a senior UN representative, Wolfgang Haas, research by the world body has shown that as students climb the educational ladder, more females drop out, such that at the tertiary level, the number of males is twice that of females. Mr. Haas was speaking at a news conference to mark the 69th UN Day celebration. This year's celebration is on the global citizens and how to empower the youth to contribute to nation building. Doreen Ampofu and Enoch Kwe have filed this report.
According to the MDGs, all governments must promote gender equality and empower women by 2015. This includes ensuring that both males and females get the opportunity to attain the same levels of education. But the UN says the situation is rather the opposite in Ghana. The senior UN representative, Wolfgang Haas, said as the world marks the 69th UN Day, focus must be placed on empowering the youth, especially females, in the quest for development. He added that this must also be done by ensuring that women get quality health care to reduce maternal mortality.
Only by including the most vulnerable in the economic, social and political processes can effective nation building be ensured. The UN aims to empower girls and young women by addressing the priority issues of maternal mortality and the gap between boys and girls in education. Although Ghana has achieved parity between boys and girls in primary schools, there is still a gap that begins to show in secondary school, and by the tertiary level there are approximately twice as many boys as girls. We all know this has to do with custom, also with social violence such as early marriages, and with sexual violence which renders girls more vulnerable than boys, and which can be a barrier to fulfilling the right to education. Closing the gap between boys and girls in education is an important prerequisite to allow girls to contribute fully to global solutions.
The Minister of Foreign Affairs, Hanna Tete, in a message, said this year's theme of global citizenship is significant as different countries are confronted with similar challenges, including the deadly Ebola virus, youth unemployment, and corruption. She was represented by Ambassador Leslie Christian.
Youth agitations, youth unemployment, and violence, particularly against girls and young women, have dominated the headlines in recent times. Many political and social developments in recent years have been fueled by the engagement of the youth. The rapid advancement of social media has shaped and amplified the voices of the youth. It is therefore a precondition that the youth must be accorded due recognition. One may argue that it is the responsibility of government to provide the youth with the proper facilities and structures to get them abreast and equipped with modern knowledge. That is essential. But it is even more important that the youth themselves take up the challenge of preparing towards taking up leadership roles to create opportunities for self-improvement.
Activities lined up for the week-long celebration include television and radio programs, Model United Nations General Assembly by students from selected schools, and a simulation exercise to expose the youth to the decision-making process within the UN. It will be climaxed with a flag-raising ceremony at the forecourt of the State House on Friday.
That report was filed by Doreen Ampofu and Enoch Kwee.
The Greater Accra Regional Propaganda Secretary of the NDC, Nidu Dudodu, has expressed optimism of President Mahama retaining his seat in the 2016, despite the overwhelming endorsement of Nana Akufo-Addo by the NPP as its flag bearer. He said President Mahama has performed creditably despite the many challenges. Nidodu was addressing a news conference in Accra to announce his bid to contest the National Propaganda Secretary slot of the NDC. He urged delegates to the upcoming National Delegates Conference of the party to elect tried and tested people to the helm of affairs to ward off the expected stiff opposition.
To you. Strategically, I empowered the 27 propaganda secretaries to become regional propaganda secretaries. It's about releasing power to your friends, releasing power to those who have been elected under you, so that they also work for you. So in this past election, you didn't see me on any platform, because if you go to Ashama, the Ashama propaganda secretary was more than a regional propaganda secretary. If you go to Trobo, the man there was more than the regional propaganda secretary. I oriented them, I made them to go through all the 10 districts, so they became regional propaganda secretaries. They could close their eyes and tell you where the projects are. And this is the type of leadership that I'm saying that we're lacking now, that I'm going to bring on board. Since there's nobody as a National Propaganda Secretary now, when I pick that position and I'm elected, I'm going to empower my 10 propaganda secretaries so that they will take over the mantle. So that when we have 10 National Propaganda Secretaries, you can see how Upper West, Upper East and all the regions will be very, very effective. 2016, I say it's a done deal, because I have a strategy, 2 years for government, 2 years for party. Now the government is almost done with the 2 years. We are supposed to package our presidential candidate, package anything that they produce in terms of development roads, in terms of hospitals, in terms of schools. We have to package. And there's so much to package now that there's so much in terms of productivity, in terms of school buildings, in terms of road network, in terms of hospital facility. NDC builds the nation. People come in and they build themselves. We are hopefully that we will continue building the nation under the auspices of John Dramani Mahama.
Meanwhile, the NDC in Ododio has finally held its constituency conference, which was held up due to a court injunction. A business executive, Ni Ubilai, beat the incumbent, Ni Okai Okai, to clinch the chairmanship. Joseph Otu, Accra Metropolitan NADMO coordinator, was elected and opposed as secretary, with Na Koshigo Lightly as his deputy. Mrs. Manuba was elected women's organizer, with Yakubu Komodo as the youth organizer.
Parties in the ongoing case involving former President Rawlings over the launch of a book on Ghana's transitional period that captures the reign of the former president as head of state will soon announce their terms of settlement. Counsel for the former president, Samuel Atatia, yesterday informed the Fast Track High Court, presided over by Mr. Justice Mensah, that his side has drafted and served same their terms of settlement on the defendants. Professor Kweku Dansobuafo is, however, yet to respond. His counsel said they would, at the close of work yesterday, file their response and formally serve the former president. The parties voluntarily sought to explore an out-of-court settlement after the former president instituted a court action against Professor Dansobuafo, restraining the former diplomat from launching his book, J.J. Rawlings and the Democratic Transition in Ghana. According to the former president, the action was necessary because his approval was a precondition for publication. It was to allow him to review the manuscript in his possession and correct all inaccuracies and misinformation contained thereof.
Dancehall artist and Ghana Music Awards Artist of the Year Charles Ni Amamensah alias Shatawale has been charged to refrain from repeating any further statement defaming event outfit Charterhouse. This follows the granting of an interlocutory injunction by the Fast Track High Court in Accra. The application, filed on October 2 by Chief Executive Officer of Charterhouse, Ayola Ayoade, with Charterhouse itself as a second plaintiff, sought, among other things, an order restraining Shatawale or his assigns from repeating the defamatory statement or similar statement in his released videos online on the 23rd and 24th of last month.
The 7 months trial of South African Paralympic and Olympic sprinter Oscar Pistorius will end today when the final verdict is read. Pistorius was convicted of culpable homicide after shooting dead his girlfriend Reva Steenkamp, but cleared of murder. The prosecution has argued for a minimum 10-year jail sentence. The high-profile 7-month trial has captured public attention in South Africa and beyond. Pistorius denied murdering Ms. Steenkamp on Valentine's Day last year, saying he shot her by mistake, fearing there was an intruder in the house. Meanwhile, Oscar Pistorius' siblings have criticized media coverage of his trial. Amy and Carl Pistorius said they are anxious ahead of today's hearing and that the truth had been twisted, manipulated, and sensationalized.
Suspected Islamist militants have shot and slaughtered people in 3 villages in northeast Nigeria, despite government's claim that it had agreed to a truce with them. Boko Haram fighters raided 2 villages on Saturday and raised its flag in a 3rd. The government said it would continue negotiating with Boko Haram despite the alleged breach of the truce. It hopes the group will this week free more than 200 girls it seized in April. Boko Haram has not commented on the announcement made last Friday that a truce had been agreed and that the militants would release the schoolgirls abducted from the remote northeastern town of Chibok. Boko Haram is reportedly represented in the talks taking place in neighboring Chad by Danadi Amadu.
A former aide to Chile's former military leader, General Augusto Pinochet, has been arrested on suspicion of involvement in the killings of 13 political prisoners in the 1970s. Colonel Christian Ladd was detained with 9 others on the orders of a judge examining the 1973 to 1974 deaths. The victims died at a concentration camp in San Antonio on Chile's coast. Colonel Ladd, who later became mayor of Providencia district in Chile's capital of Santiago, has denied any wrongdoing.
A paralyzed man has been able to walk again after a pioneering therapy that involves transplanting cells from his nasal cavity into his spinal cord. The world's first ever treatment was carried out by surgeons in Poland in collaboration with scientists in London. Derek Sidika, 40, was paralyzed from the chest down after being stabbed repeatedly in the back in an attack in 2010. He said walking again using a frame for support is an incredible feeling. The chair of neural regeneration at the Institute of Neurology UCL, Prof. Reisman, led the UK research team. He said what has been achieved is more impressive than man walking on the moon. To end the news, the main points again. President John Mahama says there will be a positive turnaround in the fight against Ebola. At a presidential panel discussion to open the Global African Investment Summit in London, the president encouraged investors not to ignore the opportunities that abound in Africa because of the disease. Ghana has been applauded by the European Union for its leading role in the fight against Ebola, describing it as bold. The newly appointed head of the union to Ghana, William Hanna, said Ghana deserves a pat on the shoulder as a truly patriotic nation that shares the pain of others. And South African Paralympian Oscar Pistorius will face destiny today when the final verdict of his 7-month murder trial is read. Pistorius was convicted of culpable homicide for killing his girlfriend, Reva Steenkamp. The news was presented by Doreen Ampofo
and Samuel Essa in Accra.